the country with your host, Dave Woods. This is the radio show where country music gets up close and personal. Spend some time in the country and get to know our guests. Spend some time in the country where the music's the best. The latest news and memories, two great stories that get told.
Minnesota country artist Alana McCready recently released her EP called Love Hangover, produced by award-winning Nashville producer Dan Hodges and renowned Los Angeles-based producer John Fields. Along with being a singer, songwriter, and performer, Alana is an award-winning goalie and a huge hockey fan. We'll get into all that and more, plus I have three songs from her EP to play on the show. I'm very excited to welcome now to the show Alana McCready. Hey, Alana.
Hi.
It is great to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I'm really excited because, like I said, we've got songs to play and a lot to learn about you.
Yeah.
First of all, your debut EP is called Love Hangover, which is a very cool title. And I noticed that among the tracks on it, that isn't one of the titles of the song. So where does Love Hangover come from?
Well, before I started working on the project, I wrote a synopsis or a short story that had all the ideas in it, kind of how I wanted the EP to play out, and I just figured that Love Hangover is appropriate. Sometimes love requires sunglasses and Advil, just like liquor. So, and a lot of the songs on the EP kind of take you on a roller coaster ride of typical relationship issues, and I've had a couple love hangovers myself, so I figured why not.
Well, it's a great title and songs on the album. Now, produced by Dan Hodges out of Nashville,
yeah,
and LA producer John Fields. I mean, two great names in the world of music. How did you become involved with them on the production side of things?
Yeah, I'm extremely fortunate to be working with such amazing producers, especially on my first project. I started working with Dan about 2 years ago. We did our first couple of tracks. Actually, You Can Keep That off of the EP is one of the first tracks that Dan and I ever worked on together. And he is a friend of the family, same as John. My Uncle Willie really got me started and really helped me sort of start this music journey. And he's helped so much. He's also based in L.A. and worked with John, and has been friends with Dan over the years. And he recommended me to them, and I'm lucky enough that they wanted to work with me.
That's pretty amazing to work with big-name producers, and it's great the connection that you've got. For the album, there's six songs on it. You listen to, I understand, hundreds of songs, over 100 songs, till you narrowed it down to the ones you chose?
Correct. It was a long process. Dan and I worked really closely together. He actually owns a publishing company in Nashville, so he has a ton of staff writers. And so we would just kind of shoot songs back and forth and kind of talk about them and try and figure out what works, what didn't work, and eventually we narrowed it down to these. And these six songs, well, five produced with Dan, are not the only ones we've done. We've done about 12 songs together over the past 2 years. So I'm looking forward to people hearing those as well in the future.
Now, obviously when you're listening to these demos, as good of a writer the person might be and as good as a demo singer and all that kind of stuff, as good as the demo is going to be, you've got to identify with what you're listening to. So I guess that's the hard part, right? That's why you need to go through 100 or more songs at least to find one you can relate to.
Yeah, that is literally the most difficult part, because especially if it's a male writer and a male demo singer, you have to picture yourself singing it, hear yourself singing it, and have it be believable if you were to sing it. So I'll Be Your Whiskey from the EP was actually written by Ryan Griffin, who is one of Dan's staff writers. And so that was originally a male song, and the demo was a male singer. Ryan Griffin did the demo. Dan sent it to me probably a year and a half ago, and I've been wanting to record it the entire time, finally got the opportunity to. And Ryan Griffin, the writer, actually just got a deal with Sony. So
great
for him. Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, that's such a great song. There's a powerful message in it. Well, what was it about that song, Alana, that that meant so much to you?
It's about having a best friend and falling in love with that friend, which happens a lot, and that's happened to me. So, but they're always with someone else, and they're always complaining to you and coming to you with the problems of their relationship, and you're finally just like, you know, let me be the one that you get drunk on. You know, let me be the one that loves you. You know, love mm-hmm. me, since coming to me, you know, I'm right in front of your face.
Right.
So.
Right. That's great. We're going to be sharing that song on the show. I can't wait. With the demos that you heard, I know sometimes producers will stick to the, I guess, kind of production or at least musical ideas on a demo, and sometimes they'll change it up. On any of the songs that you heard the demos of, did you go in a different direction or do anything, you know, drastically different?
Actually, on quite a few of them we did. Some of them were written quite a few years ago. So, and country has come such a long way, and I'm, if you want to get technical, contemporary country. So
sure.
A lot of the songs we took and sort of transformed them into the more of the country of today and more of who I am as an artist.
Right.
I'm definitely more on the contemporary country side rather than, you know, the old school country side. So Dan and I worked really closely together, kind of taking them and turning them into, you know, a song that would fit who I am as an artist. And it's really nice to work with producers that, you know, understand who you are as an artist and are able to make those decisions with you in the studio in real time, you know, which instruments to take out, kind of mm-hmm. up the tempo, things like that.
Yeah, it's great that you can do that because it must be awful. I don't know how often this would happen or not, but if, you know, a producer was able to dictate the sound for you and you kind of had to follow that as opposed to you having the input into it.
Yeah, I think sometimes that happens a lot with artists. I think a lot of times when that happens, it's a combination of things. You have to really, before you go in the studio, you have to really do your research and really figure out who you want to be as an artist, because as soon as you know that, those decisions in the studio become easy. You hear something and you're like, yeah, that's me, or no, you know, that's
right.
not really me, and you know exactly, you know, what needs to be different about it.
We're going to come back in a few minutes after we play a song, and I'm going to ask you about your influences, and we'll talk a bit about your life as a goalie, and you've won an award back in the day, and
yeah.
it sounds like so much fun. Of course, here in Canada, hockey is such a big thing. Let's turn
yes.
to a song right now before we get into all that, Alana. We're going to start
okay.
with You Can Keep That, which is on the EP.
Okay.
What can you tell me about the song?
You Can Keep That is, like I said, one of the first songs that I recorded, and I fell in love with it because a situation that a lot of girls can relate to, a lot of people in general can relate to, and, you know, when you break up with someone, sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes you don't realize that the relationship was tumultuous until, you know, it's too late, and then once you try and break it off, memories are a lot harder to get rid of than, you know, material items. So the song kind mm-hmm. of takes you full circle in that situation.
Let's hear it now. This is my guest, Alana McCready, and You Can Keep That here on In the Country.
Truth. Oh, baby, what's the use?
And that is my guest, Alanna McCready, and that is called You Can Keep That. That is on her debut EP called Love Hangover, and you can head to her website at alannamccready.com. Great song there, and great singing, of course, and the production in that. I love the guitars.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, the production was in Nashville, and you know Nashville musicians are just...
That's right.
You know, you bring them in the studio, and you're like, I think I want it to sound like this, and play them a song one time, and then they go in and play it perfectly. You're like, all right, well, that was good. Okay, moving forward.
It's amazing how quickly they get it after just listening to it.
Yeah, it's so amazing. The first time I was in the studio with some Nashville musicians, I was blown away. I'm like, wait, what? You guys don't need to listen to that again? Oh, okay.
Sounds awesome. We have more music coming up, including a really pop song, and I'll have you talk about it when we get to it, but produced by John Fields, who is an amazing pop producer, and it's a cool song, and we'll get to that. But let's talk about your influences, Alanna, those artists who have inspired you and excited you to pursue music.
You know, my mom is from Oklahoma, so I grew up, you know, with her listening to, you know, classics of my childhood, you know, Faith and Martina McBride and Shania. And then obviously my generation, you know, Miranda and Carrie Underwood, they're all very contemporary. Mm-hmm. But I think when I started making my own music, a lot of the older stuff I find influences me just because it's sort of like second nature because you listen to it all growing up and you're like, you know, this is kind of how I want to sound. And mm-hmm. a lot of people are surprised that I listen to every type of music, but I listen to a lot of pop music, and I actually listen to a lot of R&B music, which might be
nice.
Surprising.
Yeah, I mean, I think artists and I mean, fans in general, I think there's a lot of country fans out there who also like rock and all kinds of music, jazz, R&B, as you
Absolutely.
Said. And I think that's reflected in concerts, because nowadays when you go to a country concert, the artist will sometimes throw in a rock number or something totally different.
Oh, yeah, it's like a rock show all of a sudden.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Which
in a lot of
great.
Cases, it is. Yeah, I think it just shows that there's just a lot of interest in a variety of music. Even if somebody identifies as a country fan, a country listener, they still like other stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And especially me, even though I grew up on country and I make country music, you know, a lot of the R&B vocalists really influence me too in how I sing things. And so I think a lot of, you can hear little nuances like that in different runs and stuff that I choose to do in my music, which I am hoping makes me a little bit different.
Yeah, I think anything you can do that's a little different, like you said, the R&B feel, something that makes your voice stand out. With cover songs, so what are some of the cover songs, say, outside of country that you would do at one of your shows and put your own spin on?
I cover Valerie a lot. And Killing Me Softly is one of my favorite songs of all time. I cover that one a lot.
That's a beautiful
and,
song.
And, yeah, it's one of my favorites. It's actually my mom's favorite song. So she, you know, all growing up, she'd always sing Killing Me Softly to me. I'm like, oh, okay. So I'm all over the board when I'm doing covers. I'll do one of those, and then I'll throw in, like, you know, Mama's Broken Heart. So I'm
right.
all over the place.
That's such a great song from Miranda Lambert, Mama's Broken Heart. It doesn't stop. Just high energy the whole song.
The whole time. I don't even know if I breathe much in that song.
That's awesome. We're going to get back to more of your music, but let's talk about hockey for a moment because it's a big part of your life. You are a goalie. You even coach hockey, I think the goalie portion of it. But tell me how you came across hockey.
Well, I'm originally from Minnesota, so if no one ever bought you a pair of skates when you were younger, if you're from Minnesota, there's probably something wrong. My dad actually played hockey in college as well, and we just grew up with it, our whole family, my dad, my grandpa. And when I was 10, we did a standard hockey camp, my brother and I, and everyone had to take turns, you know, playing goalie, and I think I had maybe 3 shots. I'm 10 years old, and I stopped all 3 of them, and so I told my parents I thought maybe I should be a goaltender.
Wow.
So it was downhill from there, and I just was obsessed and ended up, you know, being fortunate enough to get a scholarship to play at Wisconsin. And it, I mean, it was a huge part of my life. And, you know, I still did music all through that. But it was amazing. I ended up winning 2 national championships, and it's just, it was, hockey is a huge part of my life. I love it.
That is pretty amazing. So you're a participant, yeah. Plus you watch a lot of hockey. Do you have a favorite team?
Oh, well, it depends on the year, I feel like. I do like San Jose, though. I do like San Jose.
Okay.
Which might be a little bit random, but I do. And I used to, you know, sing the national anthem for my own hockey games in high school. So kind of my two worlds come together.
Yeah, exactly. That's great to have the two worlds come together like that. And a goal, and you, I mean, I think that's so cool. Now, I think I read in your bio that you made trips up to Toronto. That's Toronto, Ontario?
Yeah. I used to train up there at the John Elkin Goalie School in Brampton, actually.
Right on.
And so I was there for about 3 months out of the year for about 7 years straight throughout middle school and high school.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's right in our broadcasting area. So you've been up here.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I love it up there. I lived there for about 3 months out of the year and trained and, you know, got my butt kicked. So
that's so awesome. Now, you mentioned Minnesota, of course. We know that's where you're from, but are you now based out of Nashville?
I was in Nashville for a little while. And apparently, if you're allergic to everything that grows there, you probably shouldn't live there. I found out. Not really conducive for my career. So,
right.
But I'm super close. I live in Atlanta, and
great.
I'm back in Nashville all the time. I'm actually going there this weekend.
Oh, super. There's such a vibe there, and I know a lot of, we have listeners from around the world, but from Canada specifically, where we're based out of, a lot of artists go down there either just to, you know, write and record for a couple of weeks, or a lot of them move down there, too.
There is a ton. I did not expect it. There's a ton. I have a couple friends that are actually from Canada that I met, I'm friends with, and they live in Nashville now and are doing music. There's a ton. It's not something I expected.
Yeah, pretty amazing, yeah. We have a lot down there who are doing well. Well, it's great to hear that you've connected with some of them. I want to turn back to some more of your music. Let's turn to that pop track I was talking about, because it's the one that's a bit different on the album, because it is out-and-out pop, reminiscent of a Katy Perry type of song. I love this one. It's called In the Back of a Taxi, produced by John Fields. What can you tell us about the song?
Well, it was written by John Fields, co-wrote it along with Willie Wisely, my uncle, and Nashville-based writer, actually, Alyssa Bonagura. And they wrote it and offered it to me, and I'm lucky enough that they let me bring it to life. And John and I and Willie produced it in L.A. And I just love it. I fell in love with it. I love how upbeat it is. I love the happy mess up at my shows. I always have to, you know, reiterate after I introduce it. It's not about, you know, doing weird things in a taxi before.
Right.
Just when I say the title, people get a little confused initially. So.
That's right. Great to explain that, yeah, just to set everybody at ease, right?
Yeah, right. I'm like, don't worry. I'm not about to sing, you know, a weird song about, you know, backseats and taxis. So bear with me till you hear the lyrics.
That's awesome. Well, you know, I can't remember how I came across your uncle's website, but I guess through checking out your website, and I came across some lyrics. I'm not sure if he was the lyric writer or he'd recorded the songs, but amazing words.
Yeah, he's amazing. He really is amazing. Him and I actually have a couple co-writes that I'm about to record in LA with John again in October.
Great.
The three of us will be back in the studio, so I'm really excited about those.
That's awesome. Well, let's hear this song now. This is my guest, Alanna McCready, In the Back of a Taxi, here on In the Country.
In the back of a taxi, looking into your eyes. Rain beats on the window, you tell him, just drive. Drunk on my kiss, I've never loved anyone before you.
And there's my guest, Alana McCready, and in the back of a taxi. You can check her out at alanamccready.com. Man, that song is so catchy. I love it. The production on it's out of this world.
Oh, thank you so much. Yeah, John, I mean, I call him a genius all the time, so...
That is, yeah, and there's proof of it right there. I mean, that is pop at its best. It's just catchy. You kind of sing along. You just feel good from start to finish.
Yeah, that's why I released it as actually my first single before the EP came out. So it was released actually about a month before the actual EP came out. And I was like, you know what, I want to put it on the EP too because I just love it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a great one. We're going to turn to another song of yours before the show wraps up and get back to a more country sound called I'll Be Your Whiskey. We've talked about that before, and that is just a great, I guess, a story song, a ballad. Let's go back to sort of your early career in music. I know when you were 4 years old, back in the early 90s, really early 90s, you announced your beginning of your singing career, and you were in a Ninja Turtle costume and some ice skates.
Well, yeah, doesn't everyone start their music career that way?
That's how it all always happens.
I thought that was just what you're supposed to do. Oh, no. Yeah, my parents unfortunately have many, many videos of me in different outfits performing things on the back of our couches in our house, which I'm sure will surface again as my life continues forward. So I'm
That's right.
really looking forward to that. And, yeah, there's cat costumes and, you know, full-on cowgirl costumes. So it's
right.
not embarrassing at all.
Exactly. Those things always have a way of surfacing, don't they?
Yeah. You know, sometimes I wish I was, you know, born before they were camcorder.
That's right. And people can head to YouTube to see some really cool videos, not the ones you just mentioned, but other great, your uncle's in them as well, playing guitar, and just great cover songs
yeah.
you're doing acoustically. So many of them there. Do you enjoy doing songs just acoustically?
Yeah, that's kind of how we started just getting content out there. My uncle and I just, you know, sitting in his backyard in L.A. and just doing a bunch of my favorite covers. And I love singing acoustically because it just gives a whole new light on the song. For example, Taxi. I do Taxi at almost every single one of my shows here in Atlanta, and it's almost always acoustic. And I just love how it sounds. It sounds like a completely different song. I mean, that
mm-hmm.
huge production is just down to a guitar and me singing.
Yeah.
And I just love how it gives it a little bit more. Not more feeling, but it just brings it down to a level where you can hear the lyrics. And yeah, I love it. Acoustic is one of my favorite ways to perform. Don't get me wrong, I love having a huge band and rocking out on stage, but acoustic is beautiful.
Definitely, and I agree with you. Like, I'd love to hear that song done acoustically, and maybe there is a video of it I haven't seen yet online. But
there's
that much production.
Too.
Oh, perfect. I'll check that out. When you strip all that back and then it's just the guitar, I'll look forward to hearing how that sounds because you're right. It changes the song a bit and it's really cool. I wanted to ask you about duet partners, Alana, because I ask a lot of my guests this. What do you have in mind, even if it's somebody like way up there, like Keith Urban, but somebody someday you'd like to record a duet with?
Oh, the list is extremely long. as far as you know, girl singers, obviously Carrie Underwood would be amazing, and Miranda Lambert. And I also, ever since I was probably about 10, I wanted to do a duet with Usher, which sounds pretty random, but I would love to do that.
Hey, that would sound great.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy watching him on The Voice?
I do. I enjoy that a lot. He's, you know, not bad on the eyes, so... And his voice is unbelievable.
Yeah, great, great singer. And, yeah, they had such a good time on that show, Blake Shelton and Adam and the whole gang. And I guess they're switching up a couple of them this year. But it's a really cool show.
Yeah, I've been watching it ever since it started. And I like that they have kept Blake on there the entire time because I think he really is kind of where country is at right now. And I think he's a great influence on all the people that are going on the show that are country and even not country, but he really understands, you know, where country is right now, and I think that's great.
Now, on that show, of course, they act sort of almost more as coaches, is what they call themselves, than judges and too critical. Have
right.
you had somebody in your life, Alana, a coach of some kind or a great piece of advice someone has given you about the music business?
I mean, my uncle, Willie, he has given me advice ever since, you know, I told him, you know, I really want to, you know, take a shot at this and do this for a career. And he's really been there for any questions and things like that, because he, you know, he has his own career. He's for countless number of years. So anytime I have a question about, you know, the business or, you know, does this hook sound okay, or am I putting too many words in this, always my first phone call.
Isn't that great to have somebody that close to you, a family member that you can rely on for that? I love that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's very, it's convenient. Otherwise, I'm not, you know, I would be kind of in the dark. So.
Mm-hmm. Now, you did a lot of musical theater in high school, I understand, stuff like Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dream Code and some others. What
yes.
was that experience like for you?
Yes, many musicals. Sound of Music, I think almost all the big ones we did in somewhere between elementary school and high school. I love doing musicals. It kind of, you know, you get to perform, but also you get to be someone else. So, mm-hmm. you know, when I'm doing my own music, when I'm doing my shows, my own music, you know, I'm just me. But it's nice to perform and be in a musical and, you know, be able to play a character.
Right. Right. And that's, it's got to feel great when you're on stage because, I mean, you're on stage to perform as a singer, but it's the same type of thing. You're getting instant feedback, right, from the audience.
Right,
the way they react.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's awesome. Now, your debut EP, of course, is called Love Hangover. I want to let our listeners know it is available at iTunes. They can check out the 6 songs on that EP. Your website is AlanaMcCready.com. Now, we're going to turn back to another song from the album, which we've talked about before, and you told us a bit about the meaning behind I'll Be Your Whiskey. You said originally the male demo, that's how you heard the song, and then you sang it, of course, with your lovely female voice. What else is it about the song? What do you want people who listen to it, what do you want them to take away from the song?
Well, the reason I picked the song to begin with is the exact situation kind of in this song happened to me. And so if it happened to me, I know I'm not the only person. There's no way I can be the only person that this situation has happened to. And I just want people to take away that, you know, you shouldn't be scared to come out and, you know, tell that person how you feel, because the longer you wait, the more opportunities you miss. And mm-hmm. My take from this song is, you know, if you just say it, you never know what's going to happen. And it's kind of a roundabout way of getting that message across of, you know, I'm tired of, you know, you coming to me with this problem, when if you were with me, it would be, you know, that you wouldn't have this problem. So, and it just takes you kind of stepping up and saying how you feel.
That's great. Well, it's an awesome song and you sing it so well. Let's hear it now. My guest, Alana McCready, I'll Be Your Whiskey on In the Country.
When the doorbell rang at 2 a.m., I knew she broke your heart again. Getting tired of seeing you cry. A fifth of Jack there in your hand. You need a drinking friend again, but I've got something better this time. Baby, come on over here. Let me dry those tears. I can take your pain away tonight. That way, it might age, but it won't fade. You knew that when
singer and performer and award-winning goalie. There's Alana McCready, I'll Be Your Whiskey Man. Great song there.
Thank you so much.
Just a fine country song that just, you know, people can relate to and get into, and so well sung as well. I wanted to ask you, Alana, about your goals over the next year. Now you've got your EP out. What are you hoping to accomplish over the next 12 months?
You know, now that I've finished my first project, I'm really focusing on writing now and, you know, really getting my original ideas out there, and I'm looking forward to recording more and being in the studio, performing more songs that I've written, and just performing more since I'm not in the studio as much as I was while I was doing the EP. I love performing live and performing more and getting around, you know, further out than my city and sort of just letting everyone hear my music.
It sounds very, very exciting and great things ahead. Now, you're from Minnesota, as you said, and now living in Atlanta. What do you like most about Minnesota, where your hometown of Blaine, Minnesota?
You know, it's a suburb, and so it's not technically a small town, but it's still a city where, you know, you know everyone. And I love that feeling. I love coming home. It's comfortable. And as much as people hate Minnesota winters, you know, I miss them sometimes. Living in the South now, you know, we get an inch of snow down here, and, you know, I'm happy about it when everyone else is, you know, closing their office. So sometimes I miss, you know, being able to just tramp around, you know, Minnesota in the snow and, you know, go to, you know, wild games with my family and things like that. But I get home a lot. I love Minnesota.
Well, that's awesome. Alana, it has been so great having you on the show, and I'll send a big shout-out to Jenny. Thanks so much for setting this interview up and connecting with us.
Yes, she's the best.
She's awesome. It's been so great having you on here. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's been my pleasure. Again, my guest has been Alana McCready. You can head to iTunes for her album. It's her debut EP called Love Hangover, produced by Dan Hodges and John Fields. And also, you'll want to head to her website, alanamccready.com. I'm Dave Woods. For more country music interviews, you can head on over to inthecountryinterviews.com.